we tend to think of creativity as a personality trait or a gift. Oh, that person is so creative, we say with admiration. In the corporate world, those who do creative work have a special status. They make lots of money, and they like to mark themselves with colorful socks, statement necklaces, or crazy ties. But what if creativity could be learned? Even by the guy in accounting who only speaks in spreadsheets. Todd Bookman visited a class that promises to make you a more creative thinker.
First, let's get a definition out there.
So my definition would be, in order for a certain idea to be creative, it must possess two major components. One, it has to be new, novel, something we haven't seen before.
This, by the way, is Professor Ram Shrift.
But it also has to be useful. Okay, so if it's just something new but doesn't offer any benefit, it's not necessarily a creative idea.
Okay, so two requirements to qualify as creative. It must be new and useful. Each year, students enroll in Shrift's class at UPenn's Wharton School to learn techniques to generate these kinds of ideas. Shrift has short-cropped red hair and wire-rimmed glasses. He's dynamic in the classroom, bouncing around with his white sleeves rolled up, preaching the gospel of creative thought. But if you think his mantra throughout the semester is as simple as think outside the box, well, it's kind of the opposite.
The problem with this phrase is that in most situations, we don't know what the box is. What is the box? So how can we, if we cannot define the box, how can we actually think outside of the box?
At the core of learned creativity is recognizing what the box actually is. What are the boundaries, the components, the structures that make up the problem you are trying to solve? And what tools, what ingredients do you have on hand? Knowing what these constraints are, he argues, makes it easier to produce creative solutions.
Actually, inside the box, there are a lot of opportunities, and most of the creative's ideas, if anything, they come from inside the box.
How about an example to help make this concept clear? A famous example from a famous children's book author, Dr. Seuss. In the 1950s, Seuss, real name Theodore Geisel, he and a publishing friend were unimpressed with the quality of books out there aimed at helping first graders learn to read.
And his friend gave him a bet, made him a challenge, basically, to write a book using a certain number of words out of a bank of words that first graders know.
There were 350 unique words that first graders were expected to understand. And Seuss is now supposed to write a book using 225 of them, and nothing more. Those are his constraints.
He used this constraints, right? He could not use any words, but there was a specific bank of words. And he came up with a cat in the hat.
Look, a cat in a hat.
You will note I am neat. Wiped my feet on the mat.
His publishers saw this and said, interesting. So these constraints, let's have another bet, another challenge. And he challenged Dr. Seuss to write another book using only 50 words. And he wrote Green Eggs and Ham.
I would not, could not in a box. I would not, could not with a fox. I will not eat them with a mouse. I will not eat them in a house.
You can argue, sure, Dr. Seuss is an extremely creative individual, and I agree, but there's something about imposing these constraints that maybe helped him be more creative. And this is kind of the approach we're teaching.
There's a waiting list to get into Shrift's class at Wharton, this despite the fact that it's not all that easy. Topics covered during the semester have names like the attribute dependency template and task unification and closure principle. Students do both group projects and take exams to reinforce these different methods. Nicole Granite, a senior majoring in management, says she's gotten a lot out of it.
I think that I'm definitely more creative than I was before because I can just think about it in a different way. I don't feel like I need to just sort of, you know, close my eyes, listen to some like relaxing music, maybe something will come to me. I feel like I'm much more in control of being able to produce these ideas that can really make a big change, sort of be creative on demand when you need to be.
Granite is starting a job in consulting after she graduates. She's going to help companies be more productive and efficient. And creativity on demand will definitely be an asset. Gerard Puccio hears from employers all the time about how much they value that type of skill set. Puccio directs Buffalo State's International Center for Studies in Creativity. His school was the first to offer classes on the topic back in the late 1960s. He says the discipline has evolved over the years as the challenges we face have become more complex.
Creativity is innate. It's a human characteristic. It's the reason why we've survived through the millennia. It's because we have our competitive advantage is creative thinking. We're not the fastest. We can't fly. We don't naturally camouflage ourselves. We can only exist in certain climates. So the human species has evolved to be creative, and in fact, that's what has helped us to sustain ourselves over time. So it's natural. It's innate inside all of us.
Some of us, of course, are still going to be more creative than others. David Ludwig wrote this piece of music. He's a classical composer and professor at Philadelphia's Curtis Institute, one of the nation's top schools. And he's got his own definition for creativity.
I think creativity is an act of finding something that's already there, of discovering, of taking the cover off of something, of brushing away the grime and the dirt until the image comes up from underneath.
This guy is a celebrated artist. He gets inspiration for melodies, you know, just walking around the grocery store. But Ludwig is totally on board with the idea that creativity can be thought of as a skill to hone, that understanding constraints and attributes is crucial to creating something new and useful.
Think about it like if I gave you an assignment and said, draw a house on a piece of paper. The first thing you would do, the first thing anyone's ever done when I've asked them to do that, is they start with the box and the roof, the frame. Always the frame. No one starts with the window and the TV in the living room in the background. No one starts with the little chimney with the smoke coming out of it. That is unhindered creative act, an unconscious creative act. And we naturally put limitations on ourselves. Part of what's very painful about creating is that we have to make decisions and choose A over B. How's that for the longest answer ever to anything?
The short version here is that creativity doesn't work as well when you take a passive approach. You can't just hope for a great idea to pop up. Chase down lots of possibilities, use some strategy, then make some hard decisions. In other words, get inside that box. For The Pulse, I'm Todd Buchman.